today, another post-it note from God.
Why do we call it post-it notes?
These are little one-chapter books in the New Testament. There's one in the Old Testament, Obadiah. We chose to stay with the New Testament. These little one-chapter letters, they really are. Some are personal, some are general. This one today is a personal letter to a man named Gaius. And we'll see that just a little bit when we get into it. But that's why we call it post-it notes. Just little things in the Bible. If you're not careful, you'll just flip right by them, not even know they're there. And they're very, very important, and we've learned so much. We've looked at Philemon, 2 John last week, and then today we're going to look at 3 John. So let's get into the message now this morning. Book of 3 John. This little book has 14 verses. Who can remember how many verses 2 John had? 13 verses. You're listening. Fantastic. And which is the shortest book in the Bible? 2 John. That's right. So, guess what? This is the second shortest in the Bible. All right? One has 13. This one has how many? 14 verses. It's the second shortest book in the Bible. It was written by the Apostle John, though his name does not appear in it. Only three names will appear in this little book this morning. We're going to see that a little bit later. But it was written by the Apostle John, we believe, for many reasons. It's not just like, I believe. It's theologians and those who study Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. You look at the theme, you look at the tone and the mood and the whole nine yards of the book. And very confident this was written by the Apostle John. Now, it's about truth. Truth is the main thing. What was the gist of last week's book? You remember? Truth and what? And love and... And one without the other can be a problem, can it? Truth without love can lead to legalism. Legalism is just a keeping of rules. And I'm right because it says so. That's going to be good. You're going to be right by yourself, probably. Nobody's going to want to listen to you unless you mingle that message with love. Amen? So truth without love can lead to legalism. And love without truth... Oh, I just love you. It's just fantastic. And anything goes, and who cares? Amen. Let's smoke something. Huh? Let me tell you, that's not going to help either, friend. Do you hear me? Say, just love, love, love. You need love and truth. Love without truth can lead to liberalism or to license. To anything goes. Love needs to have truth. Amen. For God so loved the world. Boy, there's love. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him, that's true, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us, but the truth of the matter is, we're sinners, amen? And we need a Savior. So truth must have love, and we can learn a lot in our lives if we think that way. Now this book today, 3 John, truth is the main thing. And here's an interesting thing. In the Gospel of John, the Apostle wrote the Gospel of John, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't write any books. Keep that in mind, okay? He baptized people, all right? In the Gospel of John, truth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in that Gospel, truth is mentioned 20 times. In 2 John, or 1 John rather, it's mentioned 9 times. Are we seeing a pattern here with John, huh? It's very big on truth. In 2 John, truth is mentioned how many times? 5 times. And today, in 3 John, truth is mentioned how many times? Now, I'll tell you something. If you mention something 5 times and you ain't got the 14 verses, probably that's what it's all about, okay? About truth. And that's what we're going to see here in just a little bit. But in a totally different way than last week. So it's all about truth. Jesus said, say it with me. I am the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, 6. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's all about truth. It's all about Him. Ooh, it's not about us. Can we say that? It's all about Him. It's not about us. Ooh, that hurt, didn't it? But it's not about us. It's about the truth. I came across a song, and it's a little difficult on the preacher this morning, okay? And I had thoughts of not doing it. But we're going to do it, okay? It's a song about truth. Kevin? But I'm too to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me. Of all the times I've tried before and failed, the waves they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But a voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant, with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giants keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. The stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high on top of it looking down. I saw stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. And the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe. The voice of truth. I will choose to listen and believe. The voice of truth. It's for his glory. I will listen to the voice. He said, I can go you know what? Went with the message. Do you get the point? I'll listen to the voice of truth. You know? I'll listen to the voice of truth. When the waves are crashing, I'm going to step out. When the giants are sitting on the swing and the stone, I choose to listen to the voice of truth. That's what this book is about. This little book of 3 John is about truth. So now let's move into the book. There are 3 people mentioned by name in this little book. Let's look at it. Let's name them right quick. If you can say it with me. Gaius. Say that with me. Gaius. Number 2. Diotrephes. Diotrephes. And the last one, Demetrius. Demetrius. So 3 people are mentioned in this book. Gaius, Demetrius, and Diotrephes. And that's how I choose to preach the message today. I want to break it up on these boys' backs. Okay? So let's look at it this morning. The little book of 3 John. If you have your Bibles, turn there or follow along with me on the screen as well. The little book of 3 John, the easiest way to find it is go to the very back of the book, Revelation, then Jude, and then 3 John lays right in there, 14 verses. Gaius is the first one we're going to look at. He was a good man. I need your help this morning. Can you say that with me? He was a
good man.
He was a good man. This man was a good man. You know some good men? Say, some good women? This man, Gaius, was a good man. I want you to remember that. It was so important to me, we put it on a post-it note, okay? We got stuck on a cork board here. All right, here we go. He was a good man. Let's see what the Bible says. We see that the Apostle John loved him. 3 John 1:1, the elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. It's said several times in this little book that Gaius was beloved, beloved. Beloved, beloved. He was a good man and the Apostle John loved him. You see that in verse number 1. Let's move. The second thing we see is that the Apostle John wanted him to prosper in his health. Look at what the Bible says. Beloved, there it is. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Say it with me. Prosper and be in what? Health, even as thy soul what? Prospers. So John wanted this man's health to prosper. I don't know if the man had a health problem or not. You know, I think we say to people sometimes, hope you're in good health, right? But he said something unusual. He said, I want you to be as healthy as your spirit is. See, John loved this guy. He was a good man. He knew that this was a spiritual man. And he writes this letter to this man, this spiritual man. He says, man, I hope that you're as physically healthy as you are spiritually. Let's put it up, Raj. How physically healthy would you be if your physical health was determined by your spiritual health? Why don't you think that thing through right there? How physically healthy would you be if your physical health was determined by your spiritual health? Let's keep moving, Raj. Would you be vibrant or would you be an invalid? I mean, if your physical health depended on your spiritual, are y'all following me on this question? If your spiritual life, your relationship with God, the life in you, the closeness you have with Him, if your physical health was just like your spiritual health, would you be healthy or would you be vibrant or would you be an invalid? How about this one? Would you have a strong heart or would you be on a pacemaker? Now here's the point. I want to put this up here. Let's move, Raj. How would you like for me to pray this kind of prayer for you? Here it is. Here's the prayer. God, make brother or sister so-and-so's health just like their spiritual health. You want me to pray for you like that? I tell you, sort of scary, huh? Sort of scary. But here's the point. This was a spiritual man, wasn't he? I mean, John said, man, I pray that your physical health is like your spiritual health because you're a spiritual man. Just something to think about. At least he hit me that way in the office. I thought I'd say it this morning. The Apostle John rejoiced greatly because of his testimony and his walk. This Gaius was a good man. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and they testified of the truth that's in you, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, that is a fantastic verse right there. How many parents, that's what you want for your youngins? Amen. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Oh, that's what we want for our youngins. All right, so he was a good man.
Let's look at something else about it. The Apostle John commended this man for his faithful service and kindness to others. Now we're getting somewhere, so hang in here with me, okay? Verse number 5. There it is, beloved again. He keeps saying to this man, beloved, beloved, beloved. And we know that John, the apostle, is that disciple whom Jesus loved. He is very tender. That's the way his writings are. But he keeps calling this man, beloved, beloved. He said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So Gaius was a man who was a good man. He was a spiritual man. He was a faithful man. He was a man who walked in truth. He was a man who gave to other people. He served other people. He welcomed other people. He brought strangers into his home. He was a good man. Do you get it? Say, you with me this morning? So say it with me. Gaius was a good man. Now, you might say, what is Bart doing? Hang on, we're getting somewhere. I think we are. Why was this book written? Why was this little 14-verse book written? Here's the specific reason for the book. It was written to Gaius, the good man, so that he would help those who were sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This book was written, this little letter was written to this man so that he would help these that were traveling and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that he would help them along their way. Let's look at it up close. There were traveling ministers of the gospel. He wanted to help them. He said to Gaius, we need to help these traveling ministers. The church of Jesus Christ was just starting. It had gone out from Jerusalem. That was spreading into the uttermost parts of the earth. And people were traveling and preachers were going and they had nothing. They had the word, they had the truth. That's all they had. They didn't have financial support. They had nothing. And so this letter is written so Gaius would help those who are sharing the truth. Traveling ministers, that he would help them with lodging and personal needs. And John says, look, you bless them and you'll be blessed. And I believe that today, friend. I believe when you invest in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Jesus Christ, you'll be blessed. I mean, my wife and I were talking this past week. And we certainly could be doing other things with our life, but this is the calling God has on our life. And every once in a while, I'm just like most men, probably, I get a little whiny. How many wives your husbands get a little whiny? Yeah, put his hand out, baby. I thought you said over here. But anyway, so I get a little whiny like we do sometimes. You know, maybe I'd like to have this, or I'd like to have that a little bit. You know what my wife puts it in perspective? She says, you know what? You're earning rewards, and you're putting a bank account on the other side of your life. And she cut my jaws and got me right back in shape where I need to be. Amen? It's true, friend. When you give to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed in this life, and you're going to be blessed in the life to come, and people are going to come to know the Lord. And John says, this is important. We need to help these guys. Now, they were not being supported by pagans, the verse the Bible says. As you read on through, did we miss those verses or we got them coming here shortly? I don't know if we got it or not, but it's verses 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, as you see in your scriptures there. Let me pull that up. Where's the scriptures? I'll read that. And we might come across them in just a second. But let me read that. Take a little break. Breathe, okay? Here we go.
They weren't in the notes.
Here we go. Verse number 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, Jesus' name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They weren't supported by the pagans. They didn't get any money for people that didn't love the Lord. If the gospel's going to go forth, we've got to support it. Amen? That's the way it happens. So it's not supported by pagans. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And that brings us to the next point. He says to Gaius, what's the purpose of this book? I want you to help those who are sharing the gospel, those traveling ministers. Help them with their lodging. They're not supported by people that aren't Christians. Receive them and be a fellow helper to the truth. So Gaius, I need you to do this. Now let's keep moving. Let's see what we got now. Help the ministers is the right thing to do. Can I get you to say that? Come on. Help the ministers. It's the right thing to do. It's the right. And I'm not trying to solicit help for myself today, but guess what? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for us to help the fellowship church and get the Word of God out. And not just this church, other churches that are preaching the Word of God. It's the right thing to do. Now, let's go to the next. next man. The first man was who? Say it with me. Help me here. Yeah, yes, he was a Diotrephes. Diotrephes. Let me tell you about this man before I put up what I think of him. All right? He was either the leader in the church. Gaius was a man in the church. They say that probably he had some means because he was able to entertain and help people. Okay? But he was not the leader. This man here was the leader in the church. Okay? What does that mean? It could either be he the boss man that runs the church, or it could be that he's the actual preacher, the pastor of the church. You understand? So this Diotrephes was either the leader or the pastor of the church. Gaius was what kind of man? A Diotrephes? He was a jerk! He was a jerk! And I've known leaders in church who were jerks. And wait, I ain't stopping there. I've known pastors who are jerks. Oh, I can't believe you said that about a man of God. Somebody's got to say it. Man, I know two or three. I can rattle them off, but I won't. So be on radio later. Okay? Hey, but I want to say to the radio audience, if you're a jerk preacher, you're a jerk. I said it. Okay? There we go. Alright? There are some pastors that are jerks. Now, Diotrephes was a jerk. Now, what do I mean by jerk? I didn't want to get in trouble with my wife, so I looked up in the dictionary the word jerk. You know what the word jerk means in the dictionary? It means to twitch. That's what it means. But this guy was a twitch! I don't know where we got the word jerk from, but he was one. Now let me tell you why. Why was he a jerk? Now Gaius, the letter was written to Gaius, and he was a good man. Diotrephes, say it with me. He was a
jerk.
You know you wanted to say that in church before. There we go. 3 John 1:9. I wrote unto the church. So this letter, another letter, was written unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Okay, let's look at a couple things about this Diotrephes guy. First of all, he loved to be first. He loved to be first. He loved to be first. He loved to have the preeminence. It was all about him. Let's look at something else. He was full of himself. This leader, this pastor, this whoever was in charge, this dude, he loved to have the preeminence. How would you love that to be said about you? Guy always wants to be first. He's full of himself. That's why I call him a jerk. And that's not the only reason. Let's keep moving. He rejected the Christian ministers. There were these traveling ministers that were going along teaching the word. And John had written a letter, obviously, to the church about helping these guys. But Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence, refused them. Refused to help them. Refused to lodge them. Refused to help. And here he's a Christian. He's a leader of the church, for crying out loud. What are you about, dude? So he rejected the Christian ministers. Let's go. John took it personally. John took this personally. Now, John's a nice guy, okay? John's a really nice guy, always beloved. I want you to remember something. About Gaius, it was said, be loved. About Diotrephes, your Bible will say, he loved. Okay? You know what the camp I want to be in? I want to be in the be-loved camp, amen? I want to be in the camp where I'm beloved of others, but I also love others. I don't want to be in the camp where it's he loved. He loved himself. He was full about himself. It was all about him. I don't want to be in that camp. This was that guy's camp. John took it personal. You rejected Christian ministers, John says, you rejected me. Okay? Let's keep moving. So John gets a little hot under the collar. 3 John 1:10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And he forbids them that one and casts them out of the church. Does this guy seem like a jerk? Listen again. I'm going to make a case against him here this morning. Jesus, and John said this, when I come, I'm going to deal with it. This ain't getting swept under the rug. If they get swept under the this dude. Now, Gaius was a good man. Diotrephes was a jerk. But he was the guy in charge. Either the leader or the pastor. But John said, let me tell you something. This ain't flying, and when I come, I'm going to deal with you, dude. That's how he was talking. Now, let's make our case. Diotrephes is guilty of being a jerk for three reasons. Here they are. Reason number one. Now, I don't know if the shoe fits here this morning. You know? Number one. Gossiping maliciously about the brethren. I think people that gossip maliciously about the brethren are jerks. Can I get half of an amen on that? I think people who gossip maliciously about Christians are jerks. You just ought not do it. What is gossiping maliciously? That's bringing false charges with evil words. It's tearing down the reputation of people. And that's what this guy did. He was the leader. He was the pastor. But he gossiped maliciously about people. He would bring charges against him with evil words because he wanted to be number one. And he tore down the reputation of others. Listen, friend, I'll put that back up. I'm not done with that one. Hang on. Listen. If you are a gossip, I want to honestly. I welcome you to repent and get right with God. If that's something that's just not within you, I guess, you really need to find another church. Okay? If you're a person who's known about gossiping to other people, it doesn't matter to me if you're here or not. I'm being serious. I'm dead on this. If you gossip and tear the people down, it is pathetic, it stinks, it's horrible, it's right in the Word of God. And we ought not tolerate it. There's plenty of churches you can fit in fine and go gossip. You're not going to fit in fine here. That's how I feel. Are y'all with me on that or not? Amen. Amen? Praise God. We don't need that. That shouldn't be said in the house of God. If you ain't got better time than to talk about another brother or sister in Christ, get out of life for crying out loud. Do something. Don't sit around talking about other Christians. You'll just pop yourself right in the mouth and you get pop. Don't do that, Jerry Clark. Pop, pop, pop. If you've got a good wife to help slap you, get one in. Hey. Hallelujah. We ought not gossip about the brethren. I would hate it to be known at Fellowship Church that was a place where they gossip about the brethren. It's hard. Let's do a little test. How many have been hurt by somebody gossiping about you? Can I see you? It don't feel too good, does it? It ought not be named in the house of God. This guy was a jerk because he did it. Second thing, he didn't receive the brethren. He would not welcome them. He refused them hospitality and kindness. Listen, friend. One of the characteristics of a Christian is that you welcome other folks. Are you listening to me? That's a characteristic of a Christian. That you're kind to people. That you're hospitable to them. That is what we are called to do. This guy wouldn't do it. Here are Christian pastors that are out there on their own trying to preach the gospel of Jesus, and he slammed the door in their face and wouldn't support them. This guy's a jerk. Number three, he stopped others in the church from being welcoming and hospitable. There were others that wanted to help these pastors and these missionaries as they were traveling, and they wanted to help, but he stopped them from opening up their home, their door, giving them some bread, giving them some soup, sending them with a few bucks on their way as they go to preach the word. He stopped them. Now guess what happened? He stopped the others from being welcoming and hospitable in the church. And if they were, look at what he did. Say it with me. He threw them out of the church. Done. Honestly, you're a reasonable fellow, aren't you? Is this guy a jerk? Did what? He is a jerk. Got it from God. That's a jerk. Okay? Guess what? He threw them out of the church. Now here's the thing we put up. Roger's got it coming. Here it is. That's a jerk if I ever saw one. It's a jerk if I ever saw one, friend. What's the book of 3 John about? It's written to a man named Gaius. Good man. He said there's traveling preachers, people trying to share the word. Be nice to them. You're a beloved man. You're a good man. You're a godly man. Be nice to these guys. Help them, would you? Because I wrote a letter to the church. The Diotrephes love to have the preeminence. He's a jerk. And
And he won't help them. So I'm asking you, Gaius, will you help them? Let's keep moving. Just a couple of things. 3 John 1:11 in your scriptures. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. This is what John thought about this dude. He says to Gaius, follow not that which is what?
Evil.
So let's look at just a thought or two on this. A person's conduct reflects one's relationship with God. A person's conduct reflects your relationship with God. We can't say, oh, I'm this or I'm that. Your conduct is going to reflect the relationship that you have with God. And though this Diotrephes was a leader in the church, maybe the pastor, he didn't have a relationship with God because his conduct didn't reflect it. Something else about that. Just something for our heart today. God, good is of God. Can you say that with me? Good is of God. And evil is of the... That's pretty much white as rice, isn't it? Plain Jane. Good is of God, evil is of the devil. And then a thought I wanted you to have. Evil never arises from a spiritual perception of God, but is always a product of darkness of the heart and blindness towards the Spirit of God. Evil never arises from a spiritual perception of God. Oh, I'm spiritual. If evil's coming out, you didn't get that from God. Evil always comes from the darkness of the heart and blindness to the Spirit of God. And that's what Diotrephes possessed. Now, we're moving. So the first guy was Gaius. Say it with me. He was a... This is the fun part. Diotrephes, he was a... Jerk! Demetrius. Just one verse in the Bible about him. This is not the Demetrius that's mentioned in Acts. People had the same names, a lot of common names like we do here as well. But this man, Demetrius, one verse. Let's look at it. He was a faithful servant. He was a faithful servant. Only one verse about this man. 3 John 1:12. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Why was this letter written? Why was the little book of 3 John in our Bible? Put it up, Raj. It's there because John wrote to Gaius so that he would accept Demetrius. Does that make sense to you? He wrote this letter to Gaius so he would accept other Christian missionaries and preachers, but specifically so that he would accept Demetrius. Demetrius was coming. It's believed that Demetrius is the one that carried the letter to Gaius. Here. Can you imagine going into that area of the neck of the woods and knowing that there's a church there? And there weren't a lot of churches. And here's one that had a mean old ugly preacher that wouldn't accept you. And can you imagine? Here's a guy wanting to preach the Word of God. And he's having to go with a letter. He can't go see the preacher. He's got to go see another man in the church. For crying out loud. And get permission. Isn't that terrible? So Demetrius probably has the letter that John wrote to Gaius. And he wrote this so he would be accepted. Why would he be accepted? Because he was well spoken of by everybody who knew him. That's what the Bible says. Demetrius was a faithful servant. The truth was in him and it was witnessed in his character. He was a good man of God. He had great character. And the third thing, John personally recommended him as worthy. And so we've got three characters in this little book and we're done. We're not going to be much longer. A couple of minutes. Here it is. Short message today. Here it is. Yay! Here we go. Three people mentioned in this book. Gaius was a Diotrephes, he was a jerk. Demetrius, say it with me. He was a faithful servant. He was well spoken of by everybody that knew him. The truth was in him and witnessed in his character. And John recommended him as worthy himself. And finally, we're closing out the book this morning. There's two more verses left. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. As I was closing out this study, and in my office looking, this hit me right here. This hit me right here. Friends.
Can you say that with me? Friends.
You got a couple other things to say. Here they are. Friends, friends.
Can you say that with me again?
Sounds good.
Friends.
Friends.
How many love your friends? Aren't you glad you got friends? Isn't that great? Friends, friends, friends. Do you think John was talking to Diotrephes when he said friend? Friends, friends. Say this with me if you don't mind. It's not much longer. I want it to get in your head. Here we go. This is the way it ought to be in the body of Christ. We ought to be
friends.
Do you agree with that? We ought to be friends. Something else. We ought to be hospitable. Fellowship Church. It's right on our name. Fellowship. You can't get a sweeter word than that in the Bible. It means having things in common. That's what the word means. Sharing. Listen, we need to be hospitable. We need to be welcoming. We need to be kind to one another. You agree with that?
Amen.
Listen, an attitude where you're not hospitable, an attitude where you're not welcoming, an attitude where you're not kind to one another is condemned in the Bible. It's condemned. Listen, friend, that's how we draw other people to Jesus Christ, by being hospitable, by being welcoming, by being kind. I hope that when you come to fellowship, that you feel welcome. I hope that. You know, we've got, where's Ed at? Way back, Miss Ed. Miss Ed, how many's ever got a hug from Ed to Dowdy? Can I see your hands? There you go. Amen. Hey, let's thank the Lord for Ed today. Can we do that? Thank the Lord. Amen. You know what? I know everybody don't like a hug. Kevin, you know everybody don't like a hug, don't you? I understand that. But you know what? I'd rather have Agnes in my church. Amen. Where I'm the pastor, where people are hugging one another. Amen. I love that. And I know I'm a little funny about that. Yeah, I was funny. I ain't funny anymore about it. But I like that. I would rather have a church where people are hospitable and welcoming and shaking hands and reaching out to people. Have you ever been to a church cold as ice? You go in, not a single soul speaks to you. Is that true? Does that happen in America? It ain't happening here. Amen? Let's get a big amen. It ain't happening here. Alright? It ain't happening here. We're going to be hospitable, welcoming, and kind to one another. Because we can't be a spiritual church if we're not. We have got to be friends, friends. Amen? Friends, friends. They ought not be in the body. They ought not be in the body. I mean, I'm not saying everybody in this body is going to be your favorite person in the world. But they ought not be anything in this body. Nothing that hinders a friendship. It ought not be named. If we can't show forth friendliness and kindness in the body of Christ, how in the world are we going to preach to this world out there? It's insanity. We've got to be this way. We need to be friends, friends. And then finally, we're done. Jesus said, Lisa, I've called you. How in the world can we not be friendly when the Son of the living God left heaven's portals to come down here just to call you and me friends? Friends. Gaius was a good man. Diotrephes was a good man. And some of us need a little work in this area, friend. We need to learn to be friends. And being friends doesn't mean you hang out with each other every waking moment of the day, does it? Being friends is an attitude, a relationship. I really want to encourage you today. That's what I got out of this note. I did. We're to help the preachers. We're to help the ministers. We're to be hospitable. We're to be welcome. We're to be kind. We are to be friends. Jesus said, I have called you friends. Father, bless these that ask you to come into their heart. Oh, it's fantastic, Lord. You called us friends. Thank you for that relationship that was established with these today between you and them. Bless us all, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name.